Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Amen. Grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and ruler of kings on the earth. Amen. Let's praise the name of the Lord. Let's sing in Psalm 66, verses 1 and 2. This morning in the preaching we'll focus on the suffering of our death and Savior, Jesus Christ, on the cross. Confessing our faith this morning, I would also like to focus on this. So, let's read together and confess in our hearts what is written in Heidelberg Catechism, answers 37 and answer 40. So, first of all, question answer 37. What do you confess when you say that he suffered? During all the time he lived on earth, but especially at the end, Christ bore in body and soul the wrath of God against the sin of the whole human race. Thus, by his suffering as the atoning sacrifice, he has redeemed our body and soul from everlasting damnation and obtained for us the grace of God, righteousness, and eternal life. And then question answer 40, why is it necessary for Christ to humble himself even unto death? Because of the justice and truth of God, satisfaction for our sins could not be made in any other way than by the death of the Son of God. We also read question answer 42, since Christ has died for us, why do we still have to die? Our death is not a payment for our sins, but it puts an end to sin. It's an entrance into eternal life. Let us respond to this confession with hymn 24, verses 1 and 2.
Thank you.
Let's unite in prayer. God of all grace, in a world full of tension, yes, even of nuclear tension, we've come together as thy people around thy open words to focus on what constitutes true peace. True inward peace, even in a world full of turmoil. True peace, as thou hast given it in Jesus Christ, the Son of thy love, who by his accomplished work on the cross has reconciled us with thee, so that in and through him we once again may call upon thee as our Father. Lord, we thank thee for that restored relationship. This morning, Lord, we will also focus on what precious price had to be paid for this. And so we pray thee, Lord, open our hearts to this gospel. Since the danger is there also Good Friday, that because the story is so well known to us, the danger is there, Lord, that it doesn't really touch us anymore. Touch us in such a way that by renewing we stand in awe of this great miracle. The miracle, Lord, that thou wert willing to give thy only Son as a ransom for our sins. And also that thy Son was willing to leave the glory of heaven to become one of us, and in that nature became obedient to death, even to death on the cross, to save us from eternal death, the eternal wrath of thine, and with we would have perished eternally. Lord, the words are familiar to us, but grant that it still may touch us, so that it does not minimize our thankfulness for the great wonder of thy love towards us sinners. And so we pray thee, bless us when we worship thee this morning. Also in our songs of praise, Lord, how good it was also prior to this service to bring glory to thee in our songs of praise. Accept also of our offerings of thanks for the work of Eucalypt. Father, we thank thee for that wonderful institution where we can care also for those who have different gifts, but still gifts from thy hand. Let us never forget it. Thou usest everyone in thy service, also those who are cared for by Eucalypt. Lord, be so with us in this worship service, both in speaking and listening. And let so throughout this worship service thy name receive all glory and praise. And grant that throughout all of this, our faith is strengthened, and we may go home comforted by the gospel of the cross. But we also pray that this gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ and him crucified, will be our focus not just for one day and over Easter, but that it may permeate our life, so that for us to live is Christ, and Christ alone. We pray thee for those who could not come to thy house this morning to worship thee with us together. Grant them to thy blessing. Be especially with those who are sick, if it is thy will, graciously grant healing. But also in time of old age, Father, wilt thou be near, when the frailty of life touches us. We thank thee, Father, that in this broken life we have the hope of life in thee. We also, with those who have gone on holiday, Father, grant them safe travels. But above all, grant that also when we are on holidays, we still may live to the glory of thy name. Lord, we thank thee for the freedom and peace we still have in a world full of turmoil. We think of the conflict in Syria, of the tension at the Korean Peninsula. Lord, we pray thee also for thy children in South Korea who live under that high tension of what will happen in the coming days. Protect them, Father. and with thy will, grant that there may remain peace, also to serve thee. We pray for thy persecuted children in North Korea. Lord, we thank thee that even there, Satan has not destroyed thy church. But even there, the church is even growing. Be near to them, Father, when they come together in secret. Lord, be so near. Give us what we need in trusting in thee. We thank thee, Father, that above this world, we may know that Jesus Christ reigns, who said to us, when he left this world, be not afraid, for I am with you, always to the end of the age. May that comfort guide us in all our thinking every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You now receive opportunity to give to the Lord your gift of thankfulness. The collection will be for Eucharist. And thereafter we'll sing from Psalm 31. We do that because we focus on Christ's last words on the cross. In thy hands I commit my spirit. And that's a quotation of Psalm 31. Hence we will also sing from Psalm 31, verse 2, 3 and 9. let's turn to the book of Psalms and read Psalm 31 in the unrhymed version. Psalm 31 from the book of Psalms. To the chief musician, Psalm of David. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. Bow down your ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be my rock of refuge, a fortress of defense to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress, therefore for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me. For you are my strength. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth. I have hated those who regard useless idols, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in your mercy, for you have considered my trouble. You have known my soul in adversities, and have not shut me up into the hands of my enemy. You set my feet in a wide place. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eyes waste away with grief, yes, my soul and my body. For my life is spent with grief and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity and my bones waste away. I am a reproach among all my enemies, but especially among my neighbors. I am repulsive to my acquaintances. Those who see me outside flee from me. I'm forgotten like a dead man out of mind. I'm like a broken vessel. For I hear the slander of many, fear is on every side. While they take counsel together against me, they scheme to take my life. But as for me, I trust in you, Lord. I say, you are God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. Make your face shine upon your servant. Save me for your mercy's sake. Do not let me be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon you. Let the wicked be ashamed. Let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak insolent things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you. In the presence of the sons of men. You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence. From the plots of men you shall keep them secretly in a pavilion, from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has shown me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before your eyes. Nevertheless, you heard the voice of my supplications, when I cried out to you. Oh, love the Lord, all you saints. For the Lord preserves the faithful and fully repays the proud person. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your hearts, all you who hope in the Lord. Let's now turn to that passage where the Lord Jesus Christ, in his final word from the cross, quotes this psalm. We read from Luke 23. Verses 44 through to 49. Luke 23, starting in verse 44. Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. When Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. So when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, certainly this man was a righteous man. And the whole crowd who came together to that sight, seeing what had been done, beat their breasts and returned. But all his acquaintances and the women who followed him from Galilee stood at a distance, watching these things. As said, we will read focus on that quote from Psalm 31, verse 46, which is the text. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. In response to this, we'll sing from the rhymed version of Isaiah 53, the hymn 25, the verses 1, 3, and 7. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, when the death of a loved one is near, you like to be there. No matter how painful it might be, no matter how difficult such a final farewell often is, you simply want to be there. And then, whilst sitting at the deathbed of a loved one, I particularly like to listen in to the final words that are spoken, waiting at times for a last expression of faith. As a minister, I always found it a miracle in cases where I have been present, that indeed this is the last thing that fades away. Sometimes people say there is no contact anymore, and they think everything is already fading away, no contact, but then sometimes there is hardly any breath left, so to speak. But when a psalm is sung, a simple passage of scripture is read, eyes lit up. You see it, an expression of assured faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Redeemer of our life. Wonderful to watch that. Well, this morning we have come together to reflect on the death of our Savior, the death of Christ, and this morning we'll also listen into his final words, the very last words he spoke from the cross, which were no longer addressed to the crowd that was watching him, but in these final words he addresses God as his Father. Just before, in a final farewell to his earthly family, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And thereafter to the disciple he loves, "Behold your mother." And then the second last word from the cross, in which he addresses also us, "It is finished." Just one word, in which Christ testifies that he had completed his mediatorial task here on earth. It is finished. Hence the time has come that Christ could die. No more work to be done here on earth. But then just before Christ breathes his last, he speaks once more, his final words, sent up as a prayer to God, his Father in heaven. A prayer spoken aloud. Which means even at this very last moment, we are still allowed to listen in. The evening before, Christ had also prayed to his Father in heaven, privately, in the Garden of Gethsemane. "May he prayed, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." And so, also now, Christ could have prayed silently. But apparently there is need for us to hear these words. And that's why he spoke with a loud voice, so that all could hear it. We are allowed to listen in. Not in the first place as to learn how we ourselves should be willing to die as well. But more importantly, we may listen in as to hear not only that the Lord has indeed paid the final debt, it's finished, but also that he now gives his mandate back to the Father. "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." His task on earth was finished. A new beginning. A new beginning, even though he is dying. For a new beginning, for in this final word, our Savior does not speak in the first place about death, but about a life that is awaiting him. That's the gospel I may proclaim to you this morning. In his final word from the cross, Christ speaks of his assured life with the Father. In his final word, he presents to the Father the sacrifice he brought. Secondly, he expresses his trust in the Father, and that assured of the life to be received with the Father. First of all, he presents the Father the sacrifice that was brought. Just prior to the words of our text, beloved, the evangelist Luke informs us that after 3 hours of deep darkness, it had become light again. During these 3 hours of deep darkness, Christ had suffered the anguish and torment of hell. He had fought the final battle and is completely alone, being forsaken not just by men, but even by God himself, who during these 3 hours had poured out on him the fullness of his wrath against the sin of the whole human race. During these 3 hours, Christ suffered the bitterness of eternal death, the punishment for our sins. He suffered but also endured this wrath to the very end, and so obtained for us acquittal of punishment, everlasting life. Beloved, none of us will ever be able to fathom what precious price Christ had to pay for this. With the words before you sung before this worship service, how great thou art, that God didn't mind to give his own son who bled and died, I scarce can take it in, indeed. I scarce can take it in. Who can fathom this? And it's also hidden from the human eye. In a way, similar way, as during the Day of Atonement, that was kept all behind the curtain. The people didn't see it, only the high priest was present. And now also, complete darkness, when Christ makes atonement and brings the cup of God's wrath to its last bitter drop. But that's finished now. The light has returned, and so Christ says publicly, it is finished. My task is completed. It's finished. That raises the question, brothers and sisters. If Christ had completed his work in bringing his sacrifice, why did he still have to die physically? If he had indeed borne God's punishment to in eternal death, hell, why did Christ still have to undergo the humiliation of physical death? Why did the Father not take him up straight away to heaven? He had done his task. Full payment had been made. The punishment had been borne. So why is there then still need for Christ to die also physically? We'll only understand this, brothers and sisters, when we look at Christ's task as priest. With respect to the sacrifices that were brought during the time of the Old Testament, the priest in the temple had a twofold task. First, he had to shed the blood of the sacrificial animal on the altar. But then, the priest had to present this sacrifice to God. Now, Christ, as the perfect high priest, also had to fulfill the twofold task, to shed the blood and then present it to God. And both tasks he fulfilled at Calvary. First, he poured out his life as a sacrifice for our sins, undergoing eternal death. But now it's finished this. He had finished this. And so, in his final words at the cross, he presents this sacrifice now to the Father. That's one. There is more to be said here. Christ suffered the punishment for our sins, especially during those 3 hours of deep darkness when God's wrath was poured out upon him in the fullest measure. 3 hours during which Christ suffered the bitterness of eternal death. But as I mentioned it already, that was hidden from the human eye. And therefore, if he had not died also physically, how would he ever known that indeed full payment for our sins had been made? Also for this reason, Christ had to humiliate himself into physical death, even though in the tomb his body did not see decay, for payment had already been made. Well, this also had to be made public. And so Christ's physical death functions as a divine revelation that full payment for our sins had been made. As we confessed it with Lord's Day 16 early on this morning, our death is no longer a payment for sin, but it puts an end to sin. It's an entrance into eternal life. That's the gospel of Good Friday. Christ Jesus, hymn 28. Christ Jesus, full atonement made and brought to us salvation. Each Christian therefore may be glad and built on this foundation. Thy grace alone, O Lord, I plead. Thy death is now my life indeed, for thou hast paid my ransom. Coming to the second point of the sermon, we will look in more detail at the content of this final word from the cross. Christ is again quoting scripture. That shows, brothers and sisters, that throughout his suffering, Christ's mind was continuously on the word of Father. You can understand that, for many an Old Testament prophecy reached its fulfillment during that hour. Think of Psalm 22. Turn me to Psalm 22 for a moment. Then I show you how also in Psalm 22, Christ is fulfilling the prophecy when he died on the cross. Psalm 22. Of course, David speaks there, first of all, of his own situation, yet, as with so many Old Testament psalms, there is a further fulfillment in Christ. Now, when reading a psalm like Psalm 22, you cannot escape thinking of Calvary. First, the very start. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? But also further on, think of verse 7 and 8. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted the Lord, let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. And then finally, verse 18, they divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Well, in a similar way, you see that also in Psalm 31. For if you now go back to Psalm 31, then I think, first of all, of verse 11. I'm a reproach among all my enemies, but especially among my neighbors. I'm repulsive to my acquaintances. Those who see me outside flee from me. I'll think of verse 13. For I hear the slander of many fears on every side, while they take counsel together against me. They scheme to take away my life. Very similar to Psalm 22. But, beloved, although there is similarity, there is also a difference between Psalm 22 and Psalm 31. Psalm 22, although it speaks about trusting God, dominant in Psalm 22 is that God has forgotten him. The one who made his son, first David, but later on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's very dominant. More dominant than in Psalm 31. In Psalm 31, David speaks much more clearly about putting his trust in God. Think of verse 22a, where he says, for I said in my haste, I'm cut off from before your eyes. But then verse b, nevertheless, you heard the voice of my supplications when I cried to you. Well, that cry and that trust we also read in the words chosen as our text, which is also a quotation of Psalm 22. So, first of all, Christ says, like in Psalm 22, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But then he says, first of all, in verse 20b, but the Lord heard my supplications. So, there you have it. Christ was heard by God. Yeah. Well, in that context, he says also those words, into thy hands I commit my spirit. With these words, Christ presents himself to God, the lamb that had been slaughtered. He commits his spirit to God, his life as a gift. That also shows you, beloved, the life did not slowly ebb away from him, as with these other two murderers on the cross. They, in the end, died. And you can't say yes, because Christ suffered so much, and so in the end he died. No wonder. Look at the suffering. No, Christ was actually involved in his own death. He delivered his spirit up to the Father, something we never can do. He gave his spirit up, as it also says in Matthew. And then Jesus cried loud again, he gave up his spirit. And that's what the Lord Jesus already said in John 10. No one can take my life away from me. I take it and I give it. Jesus had control over his own life. That's how he was involved in his own birth. And that's how he was involved in his own death. Actually involved in the same way as he was born. Life was not taken away from him. But he gave it. Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. These words, brothers and sisters, quoted by the Lord Jesus, were part of a Jewish evening prayer. Young children, before he would go to bed, would pray, O Lord, into thy hands I commit my spirit. In a similar way, as there is a similar verse, also as a child's prayer. Not the one we often sing with our children, but it's another one. Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. It's a wonderful children's song. Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Children, but adults alike, use the words of Psalm 31 as an evening prayer. So most likely the Lord Jesus too, as well as the disciples, must have prayed this prayer on a regular basis. It was a common evening prayer for those who expected to go on with life. To be up the new day, in the morning. And that's why I formulated the theme for this morning sermon in his final words from the cross. Christ speaks of his assured life with the Father. I come to this conclusion first by looking at the actual context of Psalm 31. In this psalm, David expresses as his desire that he may continue his task in the Lord's service. Enemies are surrounding him, mocking him. They conspire and plot against his life. But then David confesses, my times are in God's hand. And therefore, despite the fact that the facts seem to be different, speak a different language, David is assured God will fulfill his promise. The Lord will make sure that the task he has allotted me will be completed. David also knows that this will happen at the time appointed by God himself. That's also, as David expresses it in that wonderful Psalm 3, you know. Absalom was after him. Absalom. You know the dire situation? Your own son. And he has the majority of the army. David and only a few men. You said a man could never sleep. And he said, I went to sleep and the Lord awakened me. David knew the Lord is with me. My times are in God's hand. And that's what he also sings of in Psalm 31. God will not forsake the work of his hands. Though surrounded by enemies, David is sure of the victory. Well, beloved, in that same conference, we and our children may go to sleep tonight. Despite what's going on in this world, you can sleep. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. The child peacefully goes to sleep knowing that throughout the night the Lord is there to watch over him. But it is these words that Christ prayed in his final words from the cross. Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Death was near. Yet the Lord Jesus knew it's not the end. His Father would watch over him. Because enemies might have sought. Finally, we have done away with him. No longer we have to worry about Jesus of Nazareth. But Jesus knows God determines all things. My future is in Father's hand. The powerful hands of the wicked had beaten him, had nailed him on the cross. When he died, Jesus commits his spirit to a much greater power, the hands of God. And it was only in God's hands, because committing himself into God's hands, that the resurrection could take place. Jesus prayed the child's prayer. No longer is there the anguished cry of being separated from God. That's finished. Jesus and the Father were one again. As a child who has it right again with Father, Jesus peacefully says his evening prayer. He falls asleep till the new day. Thus, in this final word from the cross, Jesus is not emphasizing his imminent death, but his assured life with the Father. Instead, he's confident, since he trusts in God. And that confidence was not in vain. That's why coming Sunday we may celebrate Easter. God indeed did raise Christ from the dead. After all, through Christ's work in humiliation was finished. But his work in glorification still needed attention. Having bought those whom the Father had given him by his death on the cross, they still had to be made perfect. The church had to be gathered. And so, Father, I commit my spirit into thy hands, assured that at the appointed time, thou wilt give me my spirit back, so that I may live again in thy service and complete my task as mediator, the work of glorification, to bring to perfection also you and me. So Christ, in his final word from the cross, alludes already to his resurrection. He offers himself up to physical death, assured of the life the Father will give him. A word uttered under terrible circumstances. From a human point of view, the scene at Calvary hadn't changed. The light had returned, but the scene hadn't changed. But Christ knew. It's finished now. No longer can the devil take any claim. His enemies no doubt saw that's it. But they were simply deceiving themselves. For Christ's death was only temporarily. Those standing around the cross saw Jesus no more than one who deserved the cruel death. That's why they mocked him, despised him. They made it very clear. But Christ trusted in God's faithfulness. In the faithfulness of the Father who had promised him as wages on his accomplished work, eternal life. Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Father, with thee I'm safe in life and in death. Having satisfied God's justice, God could speak these words, fully assured of the life that was awaiting him. Life awaiting, though death was near. So Christ offered himself to the Father, assured of the wages of his accomplished work would be given him, life with God. Now you could say Christ knew all this beforehand, didn't he? After all, he was the Son of God. He knew that he would rise from the dead, didn't he? Well, although that is true, beloved, nevertheless we should not belittle the fact that Christ died also as true man. In Article 19 of the Belgian Confession, as Church we confess, therefore what the dying he committed into the hands of his Father was a real human spirit that departed from his body. In that respect, Christ's physical death was like every human's death, physical death. With all the pain involved. And I'm not thinking of the pain now which he suffered on the cross during his crucifixion, but also the undergoing the physical pain of the act of parting. You know that people who die in the Lord find that often the most difficult thing. They don't mind to go to the Lord, but to leave your wife, your children behind. But Christ suffered that as well, to say farewell to his mother. Of it, Simeon already said, a sword will go through your own soul. And Mary saw Jesus die. And the disciples, no wonder that they saw what's going on here. So that act of parting, Christ suffered as we will suffer it. That's how he died. Now for those who do not believe, that was the end of Jesus of Nazareth. Finally the curtain drops. Yet this was not the end, as we know it from God's word. Christ's death heralds a new beginning. Good Friday marks a turning point in history. In the history of God's redemptive work, as it was also made clear in the temple when the curtain between the Holy and the Holy of Holies tore apart from top to bottom. That's awesome. You have to read that. From top, God did that. It's finished. There's no need for earthly sacrifices anymore. So there's a turning point in God's redemptive work. By what he suffered on the cross, Christ satisfied God's justice, and now he's allowed to claim life. It became already clear from his sixth words on the cross. It's finished. Because the task had been accomplished, Christ could now claim the wages of his accomplishment, and he does so by laying it all in Father's hands. There it was safe. The Father would raise him in his time. So Christ laid the course of his life in Father's hands. But not only the course of his life, but also the course of the lives of those whom the Father had given him. The course of the lives of those for whom he had suffered, their sins had taken, he had taken upon them, your and my sins. Christ took them with him. He nailed them on the cross. Our names were engraved in his hands when they were nailed, the palms of them, his palms were nailed to the cross. Your sins, nailed to the cross. That's how he paid with them, with the perfect sacrifice. But that was now done. But now it's these nailed hands, as he showed them after his resurrection to his disciples. With these nailed hands, Christ rose and is today seated at God's right hand. And so that's how God, he pleads for us today. And that's why we don't have to fear death. For if you think of the price paid for your and my life, no doubt that Christ will save us. He paid such a precious price. Sometimes the characters of Christ will say, you go to the $1 shop or the $2 shop. Okay. Tomorrow it's broken. $2, too bad. But if you had the diamonds of $1,000 and it's lost tomorrow, you make sure that will happen. Now, Christ paid us with his own life. Well, he will make sure that those who he did it will also go to heaven. That's the rich fruit of the gospel of Good Friday. But that's later. That's later. And that's all fine. That glorious gospel for later. But how does it help us now today? In a life often so broken. After 3 hours of darkness, Christ's suffering came to an end. But we may focus on this for a day and Sunday, Easter, and then life returns to its normal routine. So what difference does it make that we have celebrated Good Friday and Easter? Can you look at it on Tuesday after long weekend differently? In a life where we sometimes find it so hard to cope? In answering this question, beloved, we have to realize that the deepness of Christ's suffering was that he bore the punishment for our sins. And because of it, the darkness covered Calvary and became indeed totally dark in Christ's life. So dark that even God was no longer there. God even forsook him in that hour. The powers of darkness, hellish agony, that's what Christ suffered. And see, that's gone. That's gone. That's something we no longer have to suffer when we accept Christ as Savior. Whoever in true faith accepts Christ as his or her Savior may have the assurance the punishment has been borne. The suffering we may go through might still be severe. Sufferings we go through ourselves. Sufferings we see at times loved ones go through. But because of my faith in Jesus Christ, light still shines, even in the darkest night. Because of faith in Jesus Christ, in our life, the darkness will never be so deep and intense as it was for Christ on Calvary. Now, I don't want to minimize the deep sufferings that can be in this life. But God will carry us through by his grace. That's also a fruit of Good Friday, which we may experience already today. Finally, when Christ committed his spirit into Father's hands, heaven opened its gates to receive this Christ's spirit. But again, beloved, the fruit of Good Friday is that now also applies to us. And what a rich comfort it is when life comes to an end. What comfort that is. When the doctor informs you, I can give you medication to ease the pain, but the sickness will continue. As far as that is concerned, there is no hope. And yet, there is hope. But the outer nature wastes away, of the inner nature grows stronger, till God calls us home. Home with Christ, our Savior, safe with Father, forever. Good Friday, a turning point in history. Death lost its sting forever for whoever accepts Christ as Savior. What a great gospel. For us it is now to live from that gospel. To live from it. Good Friday. You could have stayed home. Because you know the story. Christ died on the cross for my sins. But the point now is, beloved, what do you do with that knowledge? What do you do with this knowledge? When this afternoon you are out and about enjoying yourself. What do you do with it? Throughout a long weekend during which you can nicely relax. When you're out and about enjoying life, can people see in your life that you have something different to live for than the alcohol, the sport, and the money, you name it. May the Lord help all of us to also live our faith each day. To live our faith in the same childlike trust as the author of Psalm 31. That gives peace. Peace for today. And as far as tomorrow is concerned, well, each night, like Christ did, we may pray our normal evening prayer. Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Then we lay our life in Father's hands, and he will watch over us. The keeper Israel's, who neither slumbers nor sleep. And once life draw to its end, even then, we may do the same. Once more, that childlike prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. But then this verse continues, if I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Is that wonderful? In a nutshell, that sums up the gospel I was allowed to preach. In childlike faith, living the riches of Good Friday, knowing that in life and death, we are Christ, for he has paid my ransom. Now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. But if I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Amen. Let's give thanks. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the opening of thy word, for that glorious gospel of Good Friday. The Lord Jesus Christ, who died, paid our ransom, set us free. Lord, we thank thee for it. And grant, Father, that when we think about these things, that we keep standing in awe. For the danger is there, Father, we hear the story over and over again. So familiar that it just becomes normal. Christ died for my sins. But help us to see it as a miracle. As you could focus on it also this morning. And the comfort we may derive from it. Not only when we die, but also today already. That through whatever suffering we go in life, illness, battling cancer, mental illness, in all this, Father, we don't have to bear the punishment anymore. The sting of death has been taken away. And now we have comfort that it can never be so dark in our life. But the light of thy grace still carries us. And we feel it, Father, when we indeed do walk with thee, as once Enoch did, walking with God. Father, how good it is to be thy children. Help us then to live from it, so that people also can see it in our lives, that we have something different to live for than the earthly pleasures. Father, we may enjoy life, also this weekend, a long weekend, time off. But also then, we should do it to thy glory, and not forget that we are children of thine. Not forget that we have been here this morning to hear that glorious gospel. Help us to live it, Father, each day, in thankfulness to the glory of thy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's sing a conclusion. Hymn 37, verse 1 and 2. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.